This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller and I'm joined by Jim Campbell.
Hello.
And Luke Moore.
All right, everyone.
Pete Donaldson isn't here, though.
You didn't even let me get my all right, everyone in there.
I'm that gutted about Pete not being
here.
Are we
that pushed for time?
I think we might be. Firstly, though, we have to say that today was the day Johan Cruyff sadly died.
Yeah.
And what a player he was. Such an important man in the game, this we know. But really, some people are saying possibly the most important man in football. That's a huge claim, but the fact that he's mentioned in that chat shows.
I think you have to make at least an argument to say that he was the most important player to have ever played the game, given that, of course, we all know about Diego Maradona and we all know about Pelé and the amazing things they did, and we're experiencing that again with Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. But the way that Cruyff thought about the game, the way he said that, you know, everyone plays football with their feet, I like to play it with my head. He wasn't meaning the header in the ball.
No.
He was meaning the brain inside the head.
That's right.
And he really did sort of spearhead that whole total football movement as a player.
Popularised it.
And popularised it, of course, and then of course, took it to Barcelona and achieved great things there. And if you think that Barcelona, the team we all know now, they hadn't won a European Cup before Johan Cruyff came along and managed them. So he clearly laid a lot of the foundations for that and what's happening there now as well. So, yeah, a huge loss to the game, but we're blessed that we were able to see him play for such a long time and able to benefit from all his contributions.
There are very few individuals in football where you can look back at them and go, if this guy had never played football, it would be dramatically different. But Cruyff is one of those guys. He changed so much, and not even just on the pitch. It was an entire different philosophy that comes from that man. And Barcelona's way of playing, as Luke touched on, that 4-3-3 that they love, that wasn't something that was ingrained in the club before Cruyff came along.
Quite possibly the most important man in Barcelona's history. You think about the size of that club, you know.
For those of you who don't know too much about the man's career, because he was a bit before your time, he's a bit before our time as well, really. He certainly is a player anyway. We did cover him as part of the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. He's got an entry in there, and it's well worth listening to. It's on thefootballramble.com right now. And you can learn more about the man's career and his life in a lot more detail.
Absolutely right. Let's talk about the international break. We do love an international break. Mm. Let's be honest.
No, not many people do. Yeah, but we definitely do.
We often say this.
This is a good one as well, because it's the friendlies before a tournament. So, you know, the squads are taking shape.
It's business time. It's business
Absolutely.
Time.
It's business time. And England have got some business to do in Germany.
Mm. Well, there's only two reasons that the countries are having friendlies now, especially the countries that have qualified for the Euros. It's that they want to get a bit of confidence up ahead of the tournament, so they want to get a couple of wins, like England have, and or they want to test themselves against the best opposition, like Germany do. So. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
England have got England are only sides 100% qualifying record in this qualification campaign for the Euros.
Did Spain not do that?
No, they got beaten by Slovakia.
Oh yeah.
You know, and who was in England's group? I hear you cry. Well, it doesn't matter. Statistics, yeah.
They're
in
the dust. Some of those places don't even have international teams
anymore.
Exist.
They
don't bother.
We retired them as countries, Jim.
San Marino. Daft yeah. little place.
They regret the day they even agreed to enter the That's qualification right. of this tournament mm. against a big beast yeah. of the international
Invented
game.
Invented the game all yeah. over your penalty area.
Hodgson's beast.
Yeah. It's about to awaken from its from its delicate slumber.
Yeah.
Very polite, yeah. mild-mannered slumber.
Yes. Yeah. And is Jack Wilshere the man to lead England to glory? Because Roy Hodgson seems to think so, Jim.
Emphatically no.
I'm upset about this.
Yes, you are.
I know you said Jim, but I feel like I'm more upset about it than Jim is.
Jump in.
Well, Jim, you should go ahead first, because I'm building up to something here.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm fuming. Jim, I'm Bob Hoskins in Jim,
anything.
Yeah, in the Long Good Friday. Yeah, I'm Bob Hodgson in the Long Good Friday. Just sat there fuming, thinking about Jack Wilshere.
Hodgson has, of course, said that Wilshere is very integral to his plans, even if he hasn't played much football, which, of course, he hasn't this season. He's still going to take him to the Euros. He basically just needs to prove basic fitness, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, there was a similar situation last summer. Was it against Slovenia? Yeah. Where Wilshere scored a couple of goals, having been in a similar situation and not having played. So, I mean, there's an argument that when Wilshere is just coming back from injury, that's actually when he's at his best, because you get that little pocket. But, I mean, this seems sort of ridiculous to me, because, yes, Jack Wilshere is a great player on his day. He's a real engine room for the team. England don't have a player like that. But that's when he's fit. That's when he's had a season behind him. I mean, he hasn't. And also, what does it say to those other players as well that, you know, a probably not fit Wilshere is very likely to come in and take your place? I mean, that's going to make them perhaps nervous. You know, you're not going to get the best out of them in that sense. And I just... It's a real show that Hodgson is quite rigid in his thinking. He's got his ideal set up. He will not deviate from it. And that worries me, that are we going to be a little bit inflexible when the tournament comes around if personnel aren't right? And, you know, even if they're not, I would worry for Jamie Vardy in that sense as well.
What I would say before Luke...
Sorry, that was a bit rational for my taste. I'm furious.
Well, what I would say then before Luke empties his bowl of wrath is that...
Wrath Krispies. All over the studio.
Is that Hodgson... He likes Wilshere because he's a certain type of player that England don't have anyone else like, you know, who can try and dictate the tempo in a midfield. You know, that style of play that Wilshere has, England don't have any other kind of player like that. With regards to what you said about he's quite rigid, well, he played a very rigid 4-2-3-1 at the World Cup a lot. Hodgson is now, he's played 4-4-2 Diamond like he did away to Switzerland in the first game. There's talk that is a formation that he would very much consider. And also he's tried to bring in a 4-3-3, which I know is not that different to a 4-2-3-1. I mean, you can argue the toss on that, but he has shown a little bit of flexibility. This is a man who played 4-4-1-1 very much at Fulham, so, you know, Luke Moore.
Let's all enjoy a cup of deratinated coffee while I tell you why this is absolute nonsense.
Well, should he play Marcus Rashford?
Yeah, I would prefer that.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's far too early for Rashford, as we've talked about before, but
it was for the pun.
I know it was, and that's fine, and the pun does take precedent over everything else. The point about Jack Wilshere is this is an absolute nonsense comment from Roy Hodgson. It's completely needless. And in reality, it doesn't actually mean anything at all. Because because even if Jack Wilshere was to rock up to the training ground at Arsenal or wherever it is tomorrow, fit, he would not be match fit. By the time the Euros comes round, he won't have played for a whole year. So even if he comes fit tomorrow...
You don't need a whole year for a tournament.
No, I'm not saying that, but it's certainly preferable to play more than no games in a year.
Yes. Well, that's, that's your opinion.
Let's at least agree on that. I think
games about opinions.
How many games have Arsenal got left? Eight in the league. I think they've got eight games in the league left. They've got nothing else to play for.
And there was, you know, a few England friendlies, not including these ones.
So, like I say, he's realistically going to at an absolute premium going to play six full games ahead of the tournament. It's nowhere near enough. It's nowhere near enough, and that's not even taking into account the fact that he won't have played any meaningful games with England in that shape in the current modern iteration of England that they've developed over the qualifying campaign more recently. And so it's a pointless thing to say. All it serves to do is undermine the other midfield players who've worked really hard to get in the squad, both for their club and when they've had the opportunity for their country, because Wilshere is not going to be a consideration for this squad, and nor should he be. And I know Jack Wilshere's probably got a reputation, maybe unfairly, I don't know the guy, as being a bit of an idiot, but not even he would say he deserved to be in this squad. And it's a stupid thing to say. The only thing I can give him sort of a little bit of credit for, Hodgson, is perhaps maybe doing it as a way to encourage Jack Wilshere to make him, to give him a bit of positivity in what is clearly quite a difficult situation for him. But other than that, it's got no merit at all. It's pointless.
It wasn't as wrathful as I thought it might be.
No, I've quite measured.
I've chilled out my old age.
Yeah.
35 now.
Well, Jim, going on what you said about Hodgson, Chris Coleman was, I don't know about giving it the big one about England, but I did enjoy it. He said, "I know Roy very well. He rarely changes tactically. If England were going to change formation drastically, it is something I would study, but I don't see him doing that. We all know, we all kind of know what England will bring to the Euros."
It's not unfair, though, is it?
It isn't unfair.
We just have to hope that...
I really
Coleman,
like that.
Yeah, we just have to hope Coleman has some sort of washing machine-related disaster on the morning of the game and that upsets their plans.
Is that all we've got?
Yeah.
Well, you once put your jacket in a washing machine or something. What did he do in a washing machine?
I don't remember. He was at Real Sociedad.
No, he used it as an excuse
because he'd been out at a student night, and then he said that he just didn't turn up to training, or he came to training late, and he said, "Oh yeah, my washing machine went
mad." That's right. I was thinking of the time when he went on Sky Sports with a
strangely washed jacket.
With
I don't
a very,
remember that.
Very big blazer, which was far too big for him because he turned up without a blazer on, and they needed blazers for that, and he had to borrow one, and it was far too big.
Did the opposite of shrinking it in the wash.
Yeah.
I hate to
mash the two together.
I hate to wrestle this back, but Chris Coleman's Wales are 50-1 to win Euro 2016 with Bet365. Mm-hmm. So £10 on that will give you £500.
They're playing Northern Ireland in a friendly, which is a good warm up for Wales, I think.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting game, I think.
Yeah.
Both teams playing well.
I think so. I remember a time when they had a very heated affair in Cardiff. Robbie Savage may have been sent off. I think there was two sendings off each or something like that.
I think Savage was only sent off once, wasn't he? I think that might have been that game.
Oh, okay. There we are.
Which seems mad.
Well, you see, now you're all talking England down. So's Chris Coleman. Let's talk about somebody who knows international football, who's won the World Cup. It's Yogi Love, of course.
Yeah.
This man said England are among the favourites for the Euros. Do we believe him, Jim?
Well, they are. They have to be. I mean, if you look at... Sorry, you said Jim again, didn't you? What's with Jim? Why do you keep going to the gym all the time?
Sorry, he's just in a...
Because of stuff like this.
Go on, Jim. Marcus only...
wrath.
Marcus only wants to hear your opinion, so why don't you answer the question?
I'd like to hear from Luke. That's my opinion.
You didn't hear
I'd like to hear from Luke as well.
I was about to say, what do you think, Jim? And then I was about to say, and Luke.
Okay,
and
yeah,
you cut in.
Sounds unlikely.
Yogi, yeah. Old Yogi. Yeah, he's saying this, Luke. I mean, is he being patronising? Because actually, if you look at the teams on paper, you'd probably say England are fifth, sixth favourites.
Are you guys familiar with the ELO ratings as opposed to the FIFA ranking?
Of course.
So the ELO ratings are generally seen to be a little bit more accurate, a little bit more sort of professional and sensible. It's not difficult alongside FIFA, but you understand.
And the UEFA rankings are a bit funny as well.
ELO only rank two European teams above England, Spain and Germany.
Very positive.
So
Mr. Blue Sky ranking.
Yeah, absolutely right. For those reasons, I think you've got to rank England as one of the
Do you actually think that? Is that actually coming out of your mouth as a real opinion?
Do you think the bands who are at the top of the charts are the best bands currently operating?
I think that if those bands and artists were put together on a series of different algorithms around their performances, that would possibly be the case.
Right, you've got your penalty algorithm. I want an England algorithm out of you.
Mm. Okay, I'll go away and work on it. But let me just please be honest here about this England thing, because this can't go unsaid.
Yeah.
I think England have a bit of a chance. I do.
Yeah?
I do.
Do you fancy us?
I wouldn't... It's not got to the point yet where I outright fancy England, but
I
think they've got a chance. Not quite yet. Not quite at that level.
He's not prepared to stake his entire reputation on England. And not unreasonably.
No, yeah. What little reputation I have, by the way.
Yeah.
You started this show by saying that England are the only team to have a perfect qualifying record in the Europe.
No, but that's just fact. Yeah.
Qualifying records generally don't actually gather anything, though, do they? It's very rare that form continues through to a campaign.
Yeah, England had a very good qualifying campaign under Fabio Capello.
Well, in a way, it links back to why I was a little bit upset about what Roy Hodgson said about Jack Wilshere.
Denmark didn't even get to Euro 92 and they won the tournament.
Because I think that they have got a chance if Roy Hodgson picks the right squad. And I'm not convinced he will.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he will.
Well, what do you make of the current squad?
I like it.
Well, they were on.
But not enough. I've done you there.
So are we winning or not?
No, you haven't done me, because what could happen for you to like it more? That'd be a change of personnel. And it's not like he's left, a 25-year-old Gary Lineker out of the side. Do you know what I mean? What else has he...
I like it because it's got
Jack Wilshere's not in there. That should appease you.
That does appease me a little bit. I like it because it's got some players who really richly deserve to be in there, and they're fairly untested, and that's positive. People like Dele Alli and Eric Dyer and Danny Drinkwater. I think I would have liked to have seen it. I mean, Hodgson could have signalled his intent and really opened the floodgates that anyone's welcome here by picking someone like or Mark Albright and ahead someone like Peter Theo Walcott. I'd like to have seen that. Albright, but there's not really, other than Theo,
or Ryan Shawcross, maybe.
Ryan Shawcross is definitely an option. I think that he can feel hard done by.
There's
really
a couple of West Ham players, Cresswell and Noble.
Mark Noble's stats in the middle are absolutely fantastic. He's an incredibly effective and reliable player that gets overlooked all the time.
You have to remember, though, say with the right back situation. I mean, you may be right there, Jim. I think some people like Noble, some people are not surprised to see him not in the squad. But with, say, Cresswell, Hodgson has. It's difficult to suddenly just bring players in last minute and hope that they get. Adapted to the squad. It's a very tough order.
And he's brought Rose in, to be fair to him.
He's brought Rose in. You know, there's Klein in there and there's Walker. Walker's been brought back into the side. He's been watching these players for a while and trying to bed them in. And it's international football's different to club football. You're away from home. You've got to gel with the lads.
So little time.
It's very, very, it is very, very, very different indeed. What about Germany, though? They've dropped Max Kruse of Wolfsburg.
Max Kruse has announced himself as a future Ramble favourite this week, hasn't he? We're going to be hearing more from this man.
Yeah.
Listeners should really be aware of how much we are grateful when this stuff happens.
To the work of Max Kruse, we're not talking about his paid work. Yeah, apparently he reportedly grabbed a woman's phone who was taking pictures of him in a nightclub.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, but Yogi loves not having it.
Well, I think he shouldn't be in a nightclub, I guess.
From the squad. That's by far not the strangest thing he's done this week, though, is it?
Well, the money in the back of the taxi, which he won, I think we spoke about last week, that happened in October.
Fine for doing that, but also...
Nutella,
yeah.
I'd imagine that's ongoing.
The club have sort of told him to stop eating so much Nutella, which raises the question of why they know it. Is he just clawing it into his mouth at training or something? How do they know he's specifically eating so much? And one of the things they made him do, I forget which one this was related to because there's so many weird things, is they made him put up a chicken coop in dungarees for like to say help some sort of local project.
Like community service.
Some community thing, yeah. And he was wearing green dungarees and a Wolfsburg branded t-shirt looking less than happy about the whole ridiculous situation.
Right?
Who is this man?
Tell you what, there is a Mexican food range which involves... chicken and chocolate, I believe.
Is there really?
I think so.
Mm. Well, don't tell Max.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll
be all over that.
Best day of his life.
Maybe smearing the chickens in Nutella.
Yeah, maybe he heard about
while
that.
While they're alive.
I'm going to get me into the chicken. What was it? Was it called a chicken
coop?
Hut?
The coop.
Oh, you did say coop. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought there was some kind of political
the
situation.
It's like Pizza Hut.
Yeah. That would be a chicken coop.
And that's
the sound that pigeons make.
Yeah. I thought
get your coos right.
I thought there was a power struggle. But yeah, so he's been dropped. Have you ever taken a photo of a famous footballer without them knowing?
I know you have.
I have.
Definitely.
Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah. And Zlatan, though.
No.
You tried Zlatan, didn't you?
No.
I thought you did it at a nightclub.
No,
you'd look back at that picture
and it would
nut you out and be fine.
I knew there was a story involving Marcus and Zlatan at a nightclub. That's all I had.
Mm, yeah. At the Armani Club. Call it as it is.
I took a surreptitious picture of Delia Smith once, but it was at the Emirates, so it wasn't that weird that she was there.
It's in a football scenario.
Yeah.
It's in a football-related environment.
She's a person in the game of in the footballing arena.
She is.
As I like to say. We're going to talk about more international football after this.
I'm Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble. Mm.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the previous show, sponsored by Bet365. We talked a little bit about the Euros there. Who do we fancy for the Euros? Germany are up there, surely.
Mm. They have to be.
You know what? Spain.
I think
it might be France.
The hosts.
They've got an incredible squad there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Benzema stuff is not ideal. But Alexandre Lacazette is a fantastic player. And it's not a million miles away
Griezmann?
From Benzema. Yeah, and there's Griezmann as well. The players have brought up, like Kante and Payet, obviously they have an outside chance of actually making that squad. But if you look at a midfield of Kante, Pogba and Payet, that's fantastic.
Well, I don't
and
think
he's by far from first choice.
Yeah, I don't think he'd sadly take Payet by the sounds that the manager's making. But Martial on the wing, you know.
Well, Bet365 rate France as second favourites, Jim. So you're onto something there. 7-2 with Germany, the current world champions, favourites at 3-1. So £10 on Germany to win the European Championship. If they actually do it, we'll return you £40, including your stake. So France second favourites, Jim. You've picked up on something there. England, by the way, we talked a bit about it earlier. England and Belgium. Joint third favourites at 11-1. Belgium, I think, are the number one ranked team by FIFA at the moment, I think.
Are they?
I think that's right, yeah. Are Spain being overlooked? Is the party over there?
Well, Spain, it's a funny moment for Spain, isn't it? Obviously, they had a terrible World Cup. Diego Costa's not in this squad. They've got to get that front line correct.
But he's struggled anyway, hasn't he?
He has a little bit, I think Spain... It feels like... I didn't really watch them in qualification, I have to say. The only time I really watched them was when they played England, and they love playing England because they get large amounts of the ball.
Well, you're right. You're right about Spain, because the problem they've got, and it's a sort of similar problem that England have got, is that Spain have gone from a team who clearly have dominated world football to the fact now they just don't have any goals in their team.
Just like England.
Yeah, no.
But England in the 1950s?
England just don't have any goals in their team, is the point I'm trying to make, and nor does Spain. If you look at the five forwards that have been picked for these upcoming friendlies, Pedro, we all know about him, but he's not really a striker.
And he's not done much.
No, and we've got... he's got 16 goals for Spain. Paco Alcácer, he's got 6 goals. I mean, he started off well in his international career, to be fair to him, but he's not a household name. He's not someone who's going to really strike fear into opponents. Alvaro Morata, who's been around a little bit and obviously moved to Juventus, he's not hugely experienced. Nolito, who's not scored for Spain.
Well, Nolito's more of a winger, really.
Yeah, indeed, and not a forward. And Artiz Adarriz, who plays for Athletic Bilbao, who's capped once, not scored. Yeah.
They're 35 years old.
Yeah, indeed. And David Silva and Cesc Fabregas are the only other players who've really been among the goals for Spain. And even then, that's only sort of 35 or so between them.
But then we've seen Spain before play without a striker properly. Yeah. I mean, this is the annoying thing. They're decent.
The sense is that was a different Spain. This Spain playing without a striker, I don't think would be anywhere near as effective.
No, but when Spain played England in that friendly in southern Spain, I think it was, the way they played, it was just light years ahead of England, you know, and you just thought, they're not even that good. I know England had an experimental side. I don't want to put the dampeners on Roy Hodgson's side, but Spain is still, they're still a force to be reckoned with, and they're surely, you know, in the top three favourites or whatever it is, in the top five. But the Italians are an interesting one for me. I can't really work out...
Oh, this would be a great time for an Italian win. No one expecting it. Just bang.
Yeah. But then there's some other sides, I mean, who are playing pretty well at the moment. Austria have got a decent team.
Austria are going to win the Euros, was that?
They've got a decent side.
Yeah. Right. That's similar.
Yeah.
Same. We'll take that as red, Jim. We'll take that. We've interpreted that as we wish.
I'm going to move on. The Irish are up against Switzerland in this batch of friendlies. What lessons will Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane have learned from their Super Bowl experience? And will they be trying to implement any new ideas gained from the trip?
Helmets?
Helmets.
No, I don't want you to comment on the men. I'm saying, will they be...
Naughty.
Yep. Get a quarterback in there. Yeah.
Well, they've got a really tough group, haven't they, Ireland? Even with three going through, they're in there with Sweden, Belgium and Italy, so you would think they're the favourites to not get through. But I like what Roy Keane said this week.
Is that how you word it, the favourites not to get through?
Yeah, that's how they'll be wording it.
Yeah. But Roy Keane said this week, basically, you know, the buzz of qualification has to be forgotten now. And he said something like, go over there and be remembered. Don't just go over there with the attitude that we're happy to be there. That's not enough. And he said,
he's right,
to
yeah.
be fair, that the players they have there and the staff they have there are not thinking like that. They want to stay there for as long as possible. There's no idea in the camp of like, this is a good finish. They're not thinking about that.
Absolutely,
they're just being as committed as possible, because that's what got them through.
They qualified in a group containing Poland and Germany and Scotland as well. And Scotland's like a derby match as well.
Yeah.
So that's always, it was always tricky. And Gordon Strachan's pulled their socks up a bit since he's taken over. They beat Germany.
Yeah.
In Dublin.
I think we talk about the group that Ireland have got.
Am I right in saying they took 4 points off Germany? I think they drew one all in Germany.
I can't remember.
Forgive me if that's wrong, but they certainly put in performances.
But we talk a bit about Ireland in that way, so, you know, they're possibly the weakest team in that group. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want them in your group. You would not want them in your group. If you're Belgium or Italy, you want one game. Now it's been expanded to 24 teams. You want one game to be a bit of a gimme.
Yeah.
Ireland's not going to be that.
Oh, you'd rather, say, an Albania or something, who's their first tournament and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah, of course.
So,
right,
I mean, I know they're no bad teams in it, you know, I should say.
Despite what I've just said, you might think they'd probably have a little bit more than Sweden. Zlatan aside,
yeah,
they're you know, it's, they do lack. So who knows? It'd be amazing if they got through.
Is it time for Henrik Larsson to come out of retirement again? Does he still do that?
Well, if you do think Republic of Ireland are going to start off their friendly campaign with a win against Switzerland, then 19-10 on Bet365, so a £10 stake with them returns you £29, including stake.
Yeah. Speaking of coming out of retirement, Italy, Totti. Surely.
No, not again.
It's up to him.
I'd like him just to make the statement.
Yeah.
I'd get on board with that.
Di Natale.
I'd like him to make a statement. Di Natale's another one.
Turning back the years.
Let's move on from Europe and talk about some World Cup qualifiers that are happening around the globe. Brazil versus Uruguay is a tasty one.
Sure.
South
is.
American qualifying will be in full flow. Dunga's Brazil be looking to beat up anyone standing in their way. Uruguay without Diego Godin, who is, for my money, one of the best centre backs in the world at the moment.
Yes,
and I'm sure
that.
For a lot of other people's money as well. They do have Jose Jimenez, his partner at Atletico Madrid, who's very good. But Brazil's defence looks a lot better than it has done in recent years. And when I say recent years, I mean specifically the summer of 2014, the semi-final, lest we forget.
Interestingly, part of that's come about because Dunga doesn't seem keen on either Marcelo or Thiago Silva. Thiago Silva hasn't played since the Copa America. And, you know, in isolation, they're both very good players. Well, Thiago Silva in particular.
Well, he was out of that semi-final, which was one of the reasons why they got hammered.
I think
so
it's
badly.
Insane that he's not like the first name on the team, personally. Every time I see him play, he's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's a brilliant player. I mean, Miranda's decent for Inter, obviously former Atleti player. But their fullbacks, I mean, if he goes with Dani Alves and Felipe Luiz, that's a fine pair of fullbacks there. Felipe Luiz obviously playing for Atletico. But speaking of South America, Barack Obama's family were in Argentina recently. His daughters wanted to meet Lionel Messi, but a meet couldn't be set up.
Was it because he was in Spain?
Possibly.
Perhaps?
Possibly. It's strange, isn't it, when you hear that?
More broadly on the World Cup qualification in South America, it's worth pointing out how poorly Argentina are doing.
That's what they do, though, isn't it?
Ecuador have started off with 4 wins out of 4, including beating Argentina in Argentina.
Yeah.
Argentina are down in 6th, and the first 4 go through with the fifth-place team going into a playoff. As things stand, now it's early days, but as things stand, Argentina are in real trouble.
Hasn't Manchester City flop Felipe Caicedo become like an absolute international goal machine in this qualifying round?
It's very strange.
He scored one of the goals against Argentina, to be fair. Yeah, he did.
So Argentina, as you say, they're in a bad position, but they've got Chile next, which is potentially maybe not as tough as it was now Sampaoli's not there, but they've also got Bolivia on Tuesday on a pitch that is apparently awful because there was recently an Iron Maiden concert there. I think it's hilarious.
Happy with that.
That's
very
great.
British, isn't it? Get one over on the RGs. Yeah.
Send your best men on it.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Elsewhere in qualifying for Russia 2018 around the globe, we go to the Middle East, where Jordan have beat Bangladesh 8-0.
The Redknapp factor.
The Redknapp effect. Instant impact from old Ari Redknapp.
Yeah.
It's quite sensational, really. He's entered the international arena at last.
With an 8-0 win. How many other managers can say that? No England manager can say that.
San Marino, Bodgen beat him 10-0. But he didn't enter the arena.
He's left a voicemail at the FA. I'm not sure what time it is there, but I'll just give you a score update. I know Roy's out of contract in the summer, so just give you a score update. And just to remind you how badly Alan Pardew's doing, really.
And my knees are fine.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Listen, to be fair to Redknapp, he did say ahead of the game, the 8-0 win, he said, it comes down to the players. I haven't got a magic wand. I can't come here and suddenly go, we're going to play like Brazil. Well, they've won 8-0.
Yeah.
To be fair to you.
I'm sure he's changed his tune post,
man. Yeah. Well, I mean, I just told him a few things. It's obviously sunk in.
He's actually come up with another quote since the game. Yeah. It doesn't come down to the players. I have got a magic wand. I can come here and suddenly say, we're going to play like Brazil. And I have done.
It's just superb.
My show reel was on the way to the FA.
Yeah. He said, if I can get another 5% to make the difference, I'll be delighted. It will be down to the players. They are the most important people. Once they go onto the pitch, it's down to them. The first game at home gives me a good opportunity to see them. It's going to be down to their character to go to Australia and put in a real performance. He's already washing his hands of a some might say inevitable defeat in Australia, which is obviously a tough place to go, especially for Jordan. I mean, Jordan are 82nd in the FIFA World Rankings, but I mean, they really could do with two wins in their group if they want to progress to the next phase of qualifying. If they don't beat Australia, then I think they need to look at results
it's
elsewhere.
Quite a complicated one in that part of the world, isn't it? It does go through a lot of different phases.
Yeah, but I love the fact he's like, well, no, it's all on the players. It's all on the players. I mean, obviously, he's only in charge for two games. You've got to give him an ounce of...
He'll stick it out a bit longer, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think he will, yeah.
If they go through, well, obviously...
I think what he will do is hedge his bets. If Jordan are doing well, he'll stay there. If not, he'll go back to Derby. If Derby have a mayor, he's going to stay at Jordan.
Yeah. He's mates with Prince Ali bin Hussein, isn't he? The former FIFA presidential candidate.
He is, yeah.
That's how he got the gig.
Unsurprising news.
That's absolutely right. Do we have any correspondence, Luke?
I'm not on correspondence this week, Marcus. It's Jim.
Jim
Campbell.
I thought you'd get offended if I asked Jim.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you want the bet of the week first, though?
I wouldn't mind.
Let's do the bet of the week. Give Jim a bit of time. We're going to go back to the to England's visit to the old enemy for the bet of the week.
Scotland.
Those little slugs in Germany.
Right. Not the old enemy.
One of the old enemy. The not so old enemy.
That's not how Germany's
Can I get on with it?
Please.
England are going to Germany, as we all know, and we've decided for our bet of the week we're going to be patriotic. After a winner last week, by the way.
That's me banging my chest.
Yeah. We had Manchester United to beat Manchester City last week. They did. Yep. You're welcome people, and you're welcome Prospect Cancer UK. You get a good chunk of money for that.
You're welcome people.
Yep. We've gone for Harry Kane to score first in an England win. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Good. It's a serious bet.
Jim said earlier.
Harry Kane to score first in an England win.
Yeah,
18-1. 18-1. £50 on that, with all proceeds on that going to Prostate Cancer UK. £950 returns, including stake. So get your money on that. £50, 18-1. Harry Kane to score first in an England win. Please remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet and gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, please go to
gambleaware.co.uk.
Now Jim can do his correspondence.
Marvellous.
Just going to go straight in. Hi, lads.
Hi.
To back up the point on Pard's regular end-of-season drop-off, in 2013-14, on Boxing Day, Newcastle were 3 points behind Liverpool on 33 points. At the end of the season, Liverpool had almost won the league on 84 points, and Newcastle had scraped to 49 points, collecting a pathetic 16 points from the last 20 games. Friday night football can't come soon enough. Cheers, Andrew Maxwell. So that's...
Cheers, Max.
Just further further grist to the mill, to the Pardew mill.
Indeed. Got a couple of... got a bit of commentary... Commentary watch, let's call this.
Okay.
A commentary comment, indeed. My highlight of the week was Sunderland fan Ryan on Saturday 6:06 suggesting that against Newcastle on Sunday, Allardyce would go with Defoe and Barini up front and go for the jugglier. That's from Ivor
Go
Ford.
For the juggler.
I like that.
Yeah.
Which presumably is a lot of jugglers at Newcastle because it's an absolute circus.
Indeed. Now, this one's from Brian Reddio. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but either way, it's
start,
a, it's a good
start off
name.
Well, yeah. Start
ready
off, well.
Radio. Good name. Either way. Hey, guys.
Hello.
All right, how you doing?
Right,
yeah. My highlight of the week was listening to Robbie Savage, first time ever, surely, commentating on the Manchester Derby for Five Live, claiming, "I don't know how you get cramp in these modern days." Which begs the question, is cramp getting harder to get? These modern days, is that like a sort of like medieval time traveller, yeah, just marvelling at the things around him?
It sounds like he's been launched into 2016 from medieval France.
Yeah. I can understand if he got scurvy or something, yeah. You know.
I don't know how you get scurvy gout in the modern day. Yeah. Rickets in your mouth, what's going on?
You get cramp from sitting awkwardly.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Is that all, Jim?
That's all.
Marvellous
stuff.
That's
all we've got time for.
There we are. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com or on Twitter @footballramble. The website is thefootballramble.com, of course. Check out our animation from the good people at 44Toons at youtube.com/footballramble and on Instagram and Facebook. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.